Hello, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to the Face Turns WrestleMania 37 reaction video. My name is Noah Trombley, joined as always by the Pun Master Mike Rifkin and Lawrence Patchman Lang. Gentlemen, WrestleMania 37 has just wrapped up, maybe 20 minutes ago at most. How you guys doing?
We're doing pretty good, but also you forgot we're including NXT Stand and Deliver in here.
Well, yes, we will get to that.
You're just like, hey.
That delivered.
And it did deliver. So let's just get right into it. Let's get right with start with NXT Stand and Deliver. Let's start with how the show opened with Pete Dunne defeating Kushida. Mike, what'd you think about this match?
Okay, this was fun. I don't care what anybody says, this was fun. It was billed as two guys trying to be technical, and then it just turned into a brawl. And two guys who in NXT should be elevated to the next level based off of this match.
100% agree with you. Lawrence, how about you?
Oh, your standard two, as Pete Dunne is considered a bruiserweight. The bruiserweight was being a bruiserweight. And side note, I want to also acknowledge the fact we also had Zoe Starks versus Tonya Storm on the pre-show. We did.
I did not realize they had a pre-show.
They had one match on the pre-show. You're starting off sloppy, like night two's match, opening match. But we're gonna forgive you. But
to you had to go there, didn't you? You just had to go there.
Just had to start there, right then and there. I just had to start there just to mess with you a little bit more.
Oh my god! All right.
But to get back,
usually that comes from me.
Listen. When there's two, you know, we have the pun master and we have the up and coming punster.
I've taught you well, young grasshopper.
Thank you, Sensei. But to get back on track, overall, I enjoyed Pete Dunne versus Kushida.
Yeah, I really did too. Just technical, physical match. Kushida was the perfect kind of like technical style to Pete Dunne's bruiserweight style. Yeah, really, really fun. I'm surprised Pete Dunne won because I just thought Kushida really needed the win more. But, you know, I digress on that.
If it leads into what I think it could lead into, I'm okay with it.
Mm-hmm. All right, I'm going to give this one 3.5 stars out of 5. It wasn't amazing, but it was definitely a damn good match. Mike, how about you?
I'll go 4. I enjoyed it.
Lawrence?
3.5.
All right, up next, we had the 6-man gauntlet eliminator match where the winner received an NXT North American title match the next night as Bronson Reed defeated Isaiah Swerve Scott, Cameron Grimes, LA Knight, Dexter Lewis, and Leon Ruff. Lawrence? Your thoughts on the 6-man gauntlet eliminator?
For the time I was in and out of watching it, because when this match was going on, I was in the middle of bowling league. But thank God for Peacock and was able to watch right on my phone. But I enjoyed this match overall because it had its spots. It had its intriguing moments where we had some spots that were awesome. And you know what? I was surprised with the winner, actually. Because I was going for Dexter Lumis, but then they decided to go, hey, let's throw Bronson Reed in there and have him win. It's like, that's different. I'm okay with that.
And what I loved about this match was it really built Bronson Reed up as a proper monster. Like, he could just dominate anybody he wants to, taking 3 house calls from Isaiah Swerve Scott and kicking out, powering everyone around the ring. I really, really enjoyed this match. Mike, your thoughts?
And let's not forget, he's at least 300 pounds off the top rope with a splash.
I thought he had killed Isaiah Swerve Scott there.
Okay, so I enjoyed this match a lot too. One, someone really just give Cameron Grimes 20 minutes and it's pure entertainment. But the other thing is you get another story out of this match with possibly Dexter Lumis and LA Knight.
Mm-hmm.
Which looks like that.
Because you already had the story of Leon Ruff versus Swerve Scott. They kind of had their rivalry.
They already have that. And but now you get another kind of mid-card feud in NXT, which I kind of like.
Yeah, that's why I love this match. It did a lot of things. It made Bronson Reed look like a monster. It gave us a couple new feuds. It continued a feud very well. And everyone looked great in it. everyone put in a phenomenal effort in this. Mm-hmm. I'm going to go ahead and give this one 4 out of 5. I loved this one. Mike?
I'll go 4 too. I enjoyed it. I like the idea of a gauntlet a little bit more than I do a battle royal.
100%. Lawrence?
3.5.
All right. Up next, we have Walter defeating Tommaso Ciampa to retain his NXT United Kingdom Championship. Oh my God, this match was brutal. It was physical. It was horrible at times, and I loved it.
Get the popcorn.
Get the popcorn for this one. These two beat the hell out of each other. It was so great. The chops, every impact they had felt like it would take your chest apart. Oh, it was great. I loved it. Oh, Mike, what were your thoughts?
Okay, first and foremost, it didn't look like Walter had that much rust on him, because I don't remember the last time I've seen him on the UK show.
Well, they have been doing some UK shows. Like
no, I know, but I don't remember the last time he was on.
Right.
So he didn't look all that rusty. And I think this is the best match Ciampa's had since he's come back. I know he had the little Gargano thing again. I know he had the Thatcher matches, including the fight. But I thought this was the best Ciampa match since he's come back. This match was awesome. It exceeded my expectations, but this was the match of TakeOver for sure.
I would have agreed with you on that, Mike, but then one match came through and it was just a little bit better. But
yeah, I have to agree with Mr. Trombley right there.
But Lawrence, give me your thoughts on Walter Ciampa.
It was what my expectations were going to be. Chopping the out of Ciampa. Ciampa was going to get his shots in. Thank God Ciampa shaved his head on a different note. He doesn't look like Old Man River anymore. On a different note. Thank God for that. But the ending was actually perfect, because you didn't have to have this big, fantastic ending. Walter did just came in, whap, right on the chest. That's it. You're done.
Big chop. That was it.
Big chop. You know what? It's probably the first time in a while that a match has probably ended with a chop.
Mm-hmm.
But you know what? Because it's Walter, it's allowed in the wrestling universe.
100%. Yeah. No, fantastic match. I'll give it 4 out of 5. I thought it was absolutely great. Mike, how about you?
Well, like someone who went to the Hall of Fame, I'm giving it 5 stars.
Oh, first 5-star of the weekend. Lawrence?
I will go back a little bit to say, you know, if the ending was perfect, but they found a way to do a better ending, it would have been a 5-star for me, but right now it's at a 4.
All right. Up next, MSK defeats the Grizzled Young Veterans and Legado del Fantasma to win the vacant NXT Tag Team Championships. Mike, what'd you think of the triple threat?
Okay. I want every tag team on the main roster to watch this match, because all three of these teams are better than any team on the main roster currently.
Yep.
This is what tag team wrestling was all about. It showcased all three teams getting in whatever they wanted to do. And good for MSK, because they deserve this after winning the Dusty Classic. This was also a great, great match. Really brought back tag team wrestling.
Lawrence?
Yeah, it's a shade of, you know what, this tag team match, it brought back the memories of the old days of tag team wrestling, like the 04 to 09 run for tag team wrestling. Because back then you had fantastic tag teams, and these three brought back a memory that I wish was here today, because, you know, tag team wrestling now in the main roster is kind of watered down.
Very much so.
But NXT's tag teams pretty much said, yeah, we're in the middle of the card. Let's go out there and keep these fans' momentum going up. Let's see them if they want to see more from us. That's what they did. And like I say, MSK, well-deserving after winning the Dusty.
Yeah, absolutely. You mentioned Patchy. You mentioned about how it brought you back to tag teams of the old days, like 04, 09. For me, this felt like the best NXT tag division, the best NXT match since that brilliant AOP DIY revival match about 4 years ago, 4 or 5 years ago. It felt like we were back at like that pinnacle of NXT tag matches where every team is so over.
Now you make me want the Grizzled Young Veterans against the Revival.
Oh, please, God, please. but no, I agree with you guys completely. It was a fantastic triple threat. Every team got their shots in, flying around the ring. It was absolutely great. Great for MSK to finally win the gold and, you know, really strap the rockets to them and build this division around MSK. I'll give it 4 out of 5. Mike?
I'll go 4-2. Excellent match.
Lawrence?
The 4.
Good old 4. You know what's funny is that I watched someone else review this show, and he's like, I'm sorry everything's a 4 out of 5, but that's how good everything was. You know? That's where everything is. It's all great.
And it's called the Four Horsemen.
Exactly. And we keep that momentum going with Raquel Gonzalez defeating Io Shirai to become the new NXT Women's Champion. This match was great. As all the rest of them were. Really great job at doing this whole, you know, kind of a, you know, underdog, undersized champion trying to beat down the bigger, more powerful Raquel Gonzalez. And Raquel just using her power to throw Io Shirai around the ring. Great spots in this match. Props to Io for taking that huge dive off the skull. Oh, that looked like it hurt so bad because they landed right on the steel grate. I was like, oh. But yeah, props to Raquel for taking that. Props to Io for doing that. And just, oh, great. Really making Raquel look strong by having her power bomber and 1-2-3 decisive in the middle of the ring. No Dakota Kai interference. Great job. Bring Io Shirai up and let Raquel run the NXT Women's Division. Laura's, your thoughts?
You know, whenever you give the NXT women, especially the champion, and then whoever they're facing, the main event, they will find a way to steal the show. That's what they did in the main event. It just, like I say, each match just kept building up. You had the opening, you had opening match with Dunn and Kushida. All right, that set the bar. Then you transition to the six backs challenge. They raise the bar even more. What do you do next? Walter and Ciampa right in the middle. You want to keep that momentum going with the crowd. Then you build off that. You build into the triple threat tag team match. They do their thing. And now the entrance crowd's like, all right, we need to go out. It's now the main event. We're all pumped up. And then what they did just like blew the roof off the place.
Absolutely.
So however Triple H does his per se match booking to on the card to say, all right, this is starting, this is going the middle, this is the middle, this is the middle, this is a setup for the main event, this is the main event. He does a fantastic job at doing it.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Mike?
I love this match too. The one nitpick I have, if I have a real nitpick, is I would have preferred Gonzalez come out by herself instead of the little spot with Dakota Kai.
Mm-hmm.
But that was really my main – that was the only problem I had. This match was – I still can't believe the spot off the skull. That to me was just, oh, awesome. Great match.
Yeah, absolutely. I give it 4. I know everything's a 4, but this was a 4 match. I mean, you know, it wasn't enough to get a 4.5, 5 out of me, but, you know, the 4. Great match, Mike.
I'll go 4-2. I have no issue. I mean, I had the one little nitpick. That was it, but I enjoyed it.
Lawrence?
I'm going to beat both of you and go 4.5.
Oh, 4.5. He likes it a little more than we do.
I like it a little bit more.
All right, so that was night 1. Then we get to night 2. And, okay, we had the pre-show match of Killian Dane and Drake Maverick defeating Breezango to where the winner receives a future NXT tag title match. But, Mike, I don't know about you. I didn't watch this.
Good for Killian Drake, Killian Dane and Drake Maverick. Yep.
Cool for them. All right.
Good for them. I can't wait for their tag team match. But yep. you gotta show a little respect to the people on the pre-show.
Listen, we do.
I want Killian Dane to just be a solo monster. Let's do that.
Yeah, seriously. But all right, getting into the main part of night two, we start off with the ladder match to determine the undisputed NXT Cruiserweight Champion as Santos Escobar defeats Jordan Devlin to become the undisputed NXT Cruiserweight Champion. Mike, thoughts on the ladder match?
The spot with the Spanish fly off the ladder by
the moonsault.
Okay. That is what a ladder match is supposed to be. It's supposed to be a ton of fun. And that match was a ton of fun.
Yeah, it really was. And what I noticed someone else say this about this, Mike, but you know what was cool for me is that they didn't need all these like erector ladder sets to do these cool spots. They just had like two ladders. That was it. Yeah. That's all they needed. And they just did a bunch of stuff. It was so great.
To that point, I think they only use the egregious setups at times when it's like multiple
people, right,
like six, but still
they didn't need all these like huge things to do stuff,
right?
But all the ending spot where Devlin crashes through the ladder, just gets pushed off, and the way he landed, it looks so sick. Lawrence, your thoughts?
Yeah, you know, great opening match for night number two. I was expecting Santos Escobar to, you know, become the undisputed Cruiserweight Champion. But overall, that match set the bar for night two. It's like, well, once again, Triple H is a mastermind at what he does running NXT, saying, all right, who am I going to put out the first? Do I put out Ember Moon and Shotzi Blackheart versus Candice Del Rey and Indy Hartwell as the opening match? Or do I set the bar with Escobar and Devlin? Once again, he's a mastermind of NXT. Mm-hmm. So he's like, great opening match to start NXT night two. 4 stars.
100%. I'm with you as well. 4 stars. Mike?
I'll go with you guys. 4 stars.
All right. And speaking of what Lord said, we move on to the next match, which is for the NXT Women's Tag Team Champions as Shotzi Blackheart and Ember Moon defeat Indy Hartwell and Candice LeRae to retain the NXT Women's Championships. I'll start off with this one. I really enjoy this match. I'm glad Blackheart and Moon won because it establishes them as a solid tag team. It establishes the belt as a more prestigious belt, and they're not hot potatoing it like they did the main roster ones. But again, yeah, really fun match. Really innovative tag moves by the way, and Ember Moon and Shotzi. Really, really enjoyed this match. Mike?
At some point, we're going to have to put the NXT Women's title on Candice LeRae, people. At some point, we're going to have to do it. And also, but great match. Actual tag teams wrestling for tag team titles. You'll love to see that.
Mm-hmm.
Also, if I were them, I would tell Shotzi to work on the dives.
Yeah, that was a little scary.
There were times where that didn't look good.
Mm-hmm. Did have some scary moments in that match.
Yeah, a couple scary moments. But hey, you know, it's a thing some people have to adapt to occasionally. Yeah.
Listen, we know she's tough. She drives a 10 to the rink.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Can't get any better than that.
I can't wait until she's like possibly on the main roster. She gets to drive like a full size tank to the ring.
Gonna pull a Rusev Day.
Oh, that'd be great.
You know it's not gonna happen.
I know. But Patch, your thoughts on the match?
Like I say, overall it was a great match. Just it's a tag team wrestling match. Like to go with what Rifkin said, you know, you got to work on a little bit on your dives just to protect yourself because you don't want to over-rotate or overshoot yourself because then you're going to hurt your opponent pretty badly. And we don't want behind the scenes footage of people fighting. Mm-hmm. And you did this and you almost killed me. No, we don't want that. But overall, 3.5 stars.
Yep. I'm with the Apache. 3.5 stars, Mike.
3.5.
Yep. Absolutely. Like, it's crazy because this was probably the worst match of the two shows, but it was still a great match. All right, up next for the North American Championship, Johnny Gargano defeated the Gauntlet Eliminator winner, Bronson Reed, to retain his title. Mike, floor is yours.
I love Johnny Takeover.
He pulls it out, doesn't he?
He always does something that just makes you go. I don't want to say this to make the comparison, but it's kind of like, remember back in the day when Rey Mysterio was in a big match, mm-hmm. and he always do something? That's kind of what Johnny Gargano does in a totally different form. But again, this was awesome match. Elevate Bronson Reed into another guy who eventually can win either title. This was phenomenal stuff.
Yeah, it was really good. That my only nitpick I would have with it is like I said, you elevated Bronson Reed up this much. Why not just have Bronson Reed go over? You know what I'm saying? Like, you worked all this way with him winning the Gauntlet Eliminator, and Gargano's had a pretty long reign with the title. It's like, why not just go all the way and crown Bronson Reed the new champion? It doesn't ruin the match for me. This was still fantastic. Gargano and Reed pulled all the stops. But it just feels weird. Like, why not just give, like, really elevate Bronson Reed?
So I have a technical theory that eventually it'll lead to Austin Theory turning on Gargano, and he'll be the guy to take the belt off of him.
It could be. It definitely could be. I could see that happening.
I could see that too, honestly. But hey, it continues the way for Gargano to keep his momentum going, because he came off that Ciampa feud and he kind of got lost in the mix a little. And then he was trying to win back the NXT title. And then he just fell down a little bit. And, you know, he got his mix in with the North American title. But hey, it's the Gargano way.
And you know what you're going to get from him every match? He's very reliable that way.
100%.
Like, you don't know the reaction of people, how people are going to react if you put the belt on Bronson Reed.
Right. That's fair enough. But as far as the match goes, I give it 4. It's another solid match. Mike?
4.
Lawrence?
3.5. Just a little bit. I wanted a little bit more, but hey, 4 and 3.5, same thing, kind of.
Pretty much, yeah. All right. We get to Karrion Kross defeating Finn Balor to win back the NXT championship. Oh my God, match of the night. Match of the night, match of both nights for me. This was so good. This was, Mike, here's why I say it was better than Walter Ciampa. Because to me, this was just as physical as that match, but it had a technical side to it. And there was even more brutal side to it. And Balor is so good. Like, this match obviously built up Karrion Kross and it made him look like a monster. But oh my God, this match made me remember how damn good Finn Balor is. He was selling his ass off. He was really taking it to Kross. He was smart. He was technical, working the arm, working the ribs. Oh, beautiful match. Like I said, match of the weekend for me. Mike, your thoughts?
Listen, I loved this just as much as you guys did. I mean, I love Finn. I love everything about what Finn represents. And I'm happy they put the belt back on Kross, because you always feel like when a guy has to relinquish the belt, it's just like, what could have been?
Mm-hmm.
And now, hopefully, I don't know if this is going to happen, but Finn gets his rematch, but he's Demon Balor.
Mm-hmm.
I want Demon Balor versus Kross.
That would be great. Patchman, your thoughts?
You're considering this the match of NXT TakeOver?
Uh-huh.
I was considering the main event of NXT Night 2, the match of the show.
All right, well, we'll get there.
Well, we're going to get there in a couple of moments, but I will say Kross and Balor gave me what I wanted. I wanted a hard physical match. And you know what? It would have made better sense to bring out, you know, Karrion Kross as this evil, you know, fallen prey. Why not bring Balor out with Demon Balor? It would have been perfect.
That's what I'm saying. Demon Balor.
But I can see where they put the title back on Cross because, you know, he won the NXT title, had to give it up that Wednesday because he blew his shoulder out.
Mm-hmm.
But now it does set up for our next NXT pay-per-view. It could really set up Demon versus Cross,
which I hope it does. That would be really, really fun. But as far as this match here, I'm going 5 stars. I thought this was beautiful. Perfect match. No botch. Absolutely perfect. 5 stars. Mike?
To anger you, I'm going 4.5.
Yeah, I'm going 4.5 too. I'm sorry.
No, I don't want to give it 5. All right. All right. Well, we get that. That then leads us to the main event of night 2, which was Kyle O'Reilly defeating Adam Cole in an unsanctioned match. Before we get into the match real quick, thoughts on the new music? Because they both have new music, and I don't know about you, but they are generic as hell.
Yeah. Well, I wish Adam kept his Undisputed Era theme because
me too.
He was Undisputed Era.
Mm-hmm.
Undisputed, he was. But you know, that's generic music. Maybe, hopefully, Vince McMahon can find his senses, or maybe even Triple H can get Jim Johnson to come back.
Oh yeah, I miss that man. Yeah, just super generic, unfortunately. But
Kyle O'Reilly should ask Elias. That way he could totally play air guitar during his entrance.
Elias is done. Get over it.
Wow. Andrew's gonna hate.
Let him go, Mike. Let him go.
I'm not letting go.
All right. But Mike, what are your thoughts on the match?
This was awesome. Also, if you go and watch these two wrestle, whether it was in Ring of Honor or New Japan, it was always physical. It was grueling. But this told a story. And I love the chair spots.
Oh, the ending spot. Oh,
the ending spot. Oh, my. This was just so good.
Oh, it's. I've never had a moment, I think, in wrestling made me cringe more than when Adam Cole, like, yanked the chain up and O'Reilly ran right into it.
Oh,
that made me wince. I was like, oh, that could have gone so bad.
Oh, it was great. It was great.
Lawrence?
Yeah. This match to me, I'm giving my rate right now 5 stars. Throwing it out there right now. That's my 5-star match of NXT TakeOver. Stand Deliver. These two, you can tell the chemistry is just there. And you can tell that, like, they trust each other, even though they hate each other. They trust each other to protect each other when they're doing insane spots. O'Reilly doing a chain knee to the back of Adam Cole through a chair, basically. Phenomenal. Made me lose my bananas.
Yeah, no, the ending spot was great. The ending spot was so brutal and all that. And, oh, yeah, every spot felt like had a motion behind it and everything. And my one nitpick on it, and I'm going to give it a 4.5. And the reason I gave it a 4.5, the one nitpick, is that this is the problem I always have with these NXT, like, blood feud matches. It did drag just a little bit for me. Like, towards the end where Cole is, like, kind of just, like, taunting with O'Reilly and just, like, kind of walking with him with a rape. I'm like, okay, like, this is great, but can we start to move it along here? You know, it went 40 minutes. I feel like they could have done, like, half an hour and it would have had all the same impact. They could have cut down a couple things. So that's my only nitpick of it, but I gave it 4.5. Thought it was really fantastic. Mike?
Well, it's because it was undisputed that I have to give it 5 stars.
Of course you do. Of course you do, Mike.
Dude, it was undisputed.
It was undisputed.
Here's my thing. With O'Reilly going over, does that mean Cole's getting moved up?
I don't know.
I don't think so.
I don't think so either.
Because you have to bring back in the other two members of Yui.
So Cole's going to go fight Roderick Strong next?
You've got to bring back Fish and Roderick. You got to find a way. You got to have a final implosion of Undisputed Era.
A fatal four-way match, please?
I wouldn't say fatal four-way. The other two pick their side of who they want to be with.
Okay, so you do Fish and O'Reilly.
Fish and O'Reilly, because tag them up.
Yeah, you got to tag them up.
You have to, and then you just have the final tag team match. And then that's it. And then you either call them up or you got to find a way to we filter them in through NXT.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I don't want to bring. I don't want them ruined.
I know. Well, we'll see what happens with them in the future. Hopefully, they do figure out what to do with them and make it work. All right, so we did say and deliver. Let's move on to WrestleMania 37. Before we get into the first match, guys, thoughts on the fans finally being back? Of course, Vince McMahon welcoming the crowd to WrestleMania Night 1. I don't know about you guys, but it was kind of surreal.
Feel-good moment. It was a feel-good moment to finally see fans back at a wrestling event. And no better way to do it than WrestleMania. Or, you know, even at Stand Deliver, we had fans. It was great to have fans back.
I actually did forget that. I did forget they had a few fans at Stand Deliver.
We had fans at Stand Deliver, but to see an actual, like, all right, big crowd together for a wrestling event, amazing. And it was even better. Vince McMahon welcomed them back. And he even put it right. We're fighting through this pandemic. And welcome to WrestleMania.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think a sport needed the fans more than pro wrestling.
Mm-hmm.
And it was good to see the Vince welcomed back. And it wasn't some superstar, or it wasn't, you know, Michael Cole from the outside. It was Vince McMahon actually showing some appreciation.
Right. It's just like, exactly. It brings back those feels, you know, SmackDown was the first live gathering of people after 9/11, and mm-hmm. Vince did his speech for that, and you know that brought everyone together.
Mm-hmm.
This is what it did Saturday night when WrestleMania had Night 1. Vince said, "We're gonna get through this, and let's get back to business."
100%. And I don't know about you guys, but like I said, I remember asking you guys probably about a few months ago. I said, "Will being gone for so long kind of reinvigorate crowds and really get them amped up again?" And you felt it with WrestleMania, because every match, every move had a lot of just like, oh, like a lot of cheering, a lot of oh my God moments, a lot of chanting. The crowds felt reinvigorated.
It was missed.
And here's the thing. I would argue that I feel like the pandemic was almost, again, never a good thing, but for WWE, there might have been a silver lining in it, in that it did kind of give the fans a new jolt of energy for live events.
Yeah. Fair enough. Yeah.
Yeah, I agree with that.
All right. And before, one more thing before it, what'd you guys think of the stage? They had the huge pirate ship in the back, big ramp as always, with the big LED boards around the top of the stadium. What'd you think about the arena?
It's cool. They ruined the pirate theme tonight, but it was a cool theme.
They ruined the pirate theme tonight.
They ruined. Did you not see this? Did you not see when Hogan and Titus came out as pirates?
Oh yeah.
It was awful.
That was pretty bad.
The only sad thing, Kairi Sane was probably somewhere crying.
Right.
The pirate princess.
She wanted to hit an insane elbow
off the ship.
Off the ship.
Yep.
Well,
let's get into some match ratings.
Let's do that. Let's start off with, of course, the WWE Championship matches. Bobby Lashley defended the WWE Championship against Drew McIntyre by locking in the Hurt Lock and making Drew pass out. Oh, what a way to kick off Mania. I don't know about you guys. I'll let you guys say this in a second. But to me, we keep saying about how, you know, WWE fails to create new stars and they don't really do this all that often. There's one guy right now, there's two, but there's one guy really right now who I feel like they've really done that with, and it was the guy they let have the first entrance in front of live crowds, and that's Drew McIntyre. He feels like a proper star.
He feels reinvigorated.
He does.
Since he came back from... I don't even want to say when he came back from NXT, because then they had him just randomly team with Dolph Ziggler, and then he was doing some stuff with Shane, and it wasn't until really he won the Rumble last year.
Right.
And now he just feels he's like on SmackDown, Roman's the guy.
On Raw,
Drew McIntyre's the guy.
And even though he doesn't have a title, he's still the guy.
No, absolutely. I just hope for our sakes that he doesn't get hurt by the reintroduction of crowd and get to reign with the belt with a crowd, because there's another guy who competed on night one who I don't think is getting another shot with the belt, who I think was hurt by winning the belt without a crowd.
Okay. Interesting. So let's get into the match itself. Mike, what did you think about the match itself?
Oh, it was awesome. We talked about Walter Ciampa being really physical. These were two behemoths, and they were unleashed. I think they made the right call with Bobby Lashley going over. This really cements this is a real title run for him. And now Drew McIntyre, you could play out and see what you do with him next. But awesome match. Great way to kick it off, too.
What a great way to, and what a great way to get the fans pumped up.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like you say, it's like you let two, like not bulldogs. You let two
bulls.
You let two bulls let loose, and it's like they're gonna kill each other. And you saw three future shock DDTs.
Kick out.
The only thing, kick out. Like, it's like, all right. I haven't seen Drew win a match with the Future Shock DDT in forever. Granted, he has the Claymore now, but the only like flaw in this match is MVP with the distraction. That's the only flaw. It's like MVP said something, Drew gets like, huh? And it's like a deer in headlights, and then it's like, oh, okay, I'm going to go for a Claymore now. Miss. Bobby Lashley puts in the Hurt Lock. It's like you could have just had him try to go for the Claymore, miss, and then Bobby Lashley puts in the Hurt Lock, but you go with an MVP distraction. Like, that's like my only flaw in this match.
Fair enough. I totally understand that, but I'm with you guys. I thought this match was great. Great way to start off the WrestleMania with live crowd. Just two behemoths just belting each other, just hitting each other as hard as they can. Claymores and Hurt Locks and spears and this and that. Oh, they pulled out all the stops for this match. And I loved every second of it. I give it 4 out of 5, Mike.
I'd go 4-2. I just want to say, let's think about McIntyre again for a second. The last three Manias, Roman Reigns, Brock Lesnar, and he puts Bobby Lashley over.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't get much better than that.
No, not really.
Bigger than that.
Not really.
Yeah, so
he's got a bright future.
Yeah.
Lawrence?
4 stars.
All right. Up next, we had the tag team turmoil match where the winner received the women's title.
This wasn't even the real match. The real match was Mandy Rose versus the ramp.
Yes, we had to mention Mandy Rose slipping on the ramp because it had rained before. There was actually a big weather delay.
And apparently there was a bunch of nip slips, too.
Yes, Dana Brooke had one, but let's not get into that too much. So disregarding the whole real match, Mike, we had Natalya and defeat and Tamina outlasting everyone to win and move on to night two. What'd you think?
It was fine. Like we built Lana up for months. Then she gets replaced by Charlotte to team with Asuka.
And now just nothing?
We're going to bring Lana back, and all of a sudden she's going to start teaming with Naomi. They're going on a run, and then they lose to a team that's never teamed before with Carmella and Billy Kay. What in the magical hell are you doing?
Yeah, this was...
So I just don't know. Listen, good for Natalya and Tamina, I guess. I don't know when that happened or why that happened, but good for the.
Yeah, it just kind of happened.
It is what it is.
Yeah. It's you know, it was, you know what? No offense. The women just got thrown in after a championship match. It's just like, hey, go on, do your thing. And the crowd, unfortunately, the crowd kind of went back to their old ways of just being mild.
Mm-hmm.
Because they were tired out from Lashley and Drew.
They get pumped up in a second, though.
Yeah, they got put up second. Fantastic spot to be put on a Mania card.
Yes, exactly. But I'm with you guys. This match was just, it was normal. It wasn't bad. It could have been way worse, but I gave
who do you, like, if you're a crowd, who are you supposed to get behind?
That's the thing, is that there hasn't been a team really built up. It's not like the Iconics 2 years ago, or even who was it last year? Alexa Bliss and Nikki Cross.
I mean, the crap, if Natalia's partner had been Beth Phoenix, like it was a couple of years ago, that's who you get behind. No one's going to get behind Natalia and Tamina.
I mean, we'll get into that in a minute with the crowd tonight.
Yeah,
exactly. Sorry about that. I had to do something real quick. But yeah, you don't know who to root for, so it just kind of flounders there. So I give it 2.5 stars.
Yeah, I'll go 2.5. I'll be a little bit nicer.
Yeah, 2.5 is fine. I was going to go 2, but I can be nice and go 2.5.
It was middle of the road match. It was just average. All right, now let's get to something that wasn't average. I don't know why this match did this so much for me, but match of the entire weekend. Match of the entire weekend as Cesaro defeated Seth Rollins. Oh my God, I loved this match. It was super. It wasn't very long, but oh my God, they just pulled out all the hits. It was immediately buckle bomb, uppercuts, punches, swings, neutralizers, dives, everything.
UFOs.
UFO. Oh my God. The UFO is the best thing I've ever seen. So basically, it's a torture rack, but he does an airplane spin and he puts his arms down. It's what? No human should be able to do that. And then Seth pulling out the corkscrew. Corkscrew splash out of nowhere. Oh, this match was amazing. And right guy won. Cesaro finally actually got a win, and I was very surprised by that. Lawrence?
My good friend Corey, who's a big wrestling fan as well, we love Cesaro, and we always want better for Cesaro. And that match proved that hopefully the cobwebs in some of the writer's head can finally be shaken out. And we can finally do something with Cesaro. I don't care if it's okay. Now he goes off and goes after new IC champion Apollo Crews, or we finally strap him to the rocket, send him to the moon, and send him after Roman Reigns, because it needs to be done.
If only. Mike?
When you have two of the best workers in the company, you pull out all the stops. This match was phenomenal. It gave you all the feels. And because the crowd knew who they wanted to get behind.
And Seth played. Oh, by the way, I have to mention that promo package before the match, where like the fake political ad, was the best I've ever seen. That was so
very
funny.
Good.
Is Cesaro a man you'd like to have your kids idolize? Seth Rollins is the man you really want. Go watch it. It's bloody brilliant. Oh, amazing.
Well, and then it kind of shat on Cesaro's WrestleMania.
I know. Like, it was so good. It was like all the stuff. It was all the disgusting traits of a political ad. And oh, beautiful.
And this is not paid for by Seth Rollins.
No, not paid for by Seth Rollins. Yeah, this match just was 11 and a half minutes. It felt like a 25-minute classic. I loved it. Match of the weekend for me. I think anything better than TakeOver did. I give it 5 stars.
Feeling very optimistic with it. I like it, but 4.5 for me.
Mike?
I'm 4.5, too. I enjoyed it thoroughly.
Oh, I enjoyed it. And to say this, I was watching this at my job on my phone, and when I was watching in the corner of where I was and at my job, and I actually shed a little bit of a tear when Cesaro won. Oh. And I actually got goosebumps the first time in a long time watching a wrestling match.
And how about that counter out of the curb stomp where he just immediately popped up and immediately hits it with an uppercut? How fast that was. Oh, that made my something hard. How Ooh. Stiff that was. Oh, so stiff. All right, up next for the Raw Tag Team Championships, we had AJ Styles and Omos defeating the New Day to win and become the new Raw Tag Team Champions. Mike, take it away.
By the way, the biggest story out of all of this is now AJ Styles is a Grand Slam champion. I think everyone should know that.
And congratulations to him.
First man to be a Grand Slam champion in WWE and TNA.
First guy. No, he'd be the second because Sting's already in both. But he'll be the second guy to be in both. Not Dudley's. I'm off on that.
Hall of Fame, anyway, you mean?
My favorite part of this is when Xavier Woods is just yelling at Kofi, we've got to keep him isolated.
Yeah, keep him isolated. Keep him. Cut the ring in half. Cut the ring in half.
That was awesome. And then Omos comes in and does
big man
whatever thing. Omos wanted to do.
Big man. And the best part is everyone was waiting for that hot tag from Styles to Omos.
They were.
It was like New Day's supposed to be the face here, but Omos is going to get the hot tag.
Yeah.
Omos is going to get the hot tag.
And everyone loved it.
And everyone's going to go bananas. And then he's just going to basically wreck everyone and make this the end of days instead of a New Day.
Oh, man. Yeah. And he did. He wrecked everybody. The impressive shows of power, just throwing them hither and yonder. The phenomenal forearm off his shoulders was brilliant.
Tag team wrestling.
This was a great tag match. It was under 10 minutes. How'd they do it?
You have three really good workers and Omos.
Who's so big, he's just going to be like a sight to see.
The former college basketball player, too.
Mm-hmm. He's just a sight. That's what he is. And we'll get to it in a second, but I got a dream match for Mr. Omos. But I give this 3.5. I think it was a very solid match. It wasn't, you know, super technical. It wasn't super fancy, but I give it 3.5. It was great for what it was.
Lawrence? For what it was, it's a solid 3-star match. The fact that you had New Day in there, and unfortunately you knew New Day was going to lose because you just can't have a giant behemoth lose this type of match. Okay, granted, he gets the tag title run now. It's going to be interesting how they lose the tag titles now. But it was a feel-good moment because, once again, it makes AJ Styles a Grand Slam champion. You finally get to see Omos in action. So it's a solid 3 all day on paper.
Mike?
I'll go 3.
All right, up next, we had the man who I want to face Omos one day, Braun Strowman, defeating Shane McMahon in a steel cage match. This match was just proper fun. It was Braun just wrecking Shane McMahon's day, and I loved every second of it. It kind of felt like the old Braun where, the best spot of the match, where he rips the side of the cage off and pulls Shane in back in, hurls him off the top. This felt like a proper reinvigoration of the monster that we know as Braun Strowman to me. Mike, what'd you think?
Welcome back, Braun Strowman. It's been a long time since we've seen you. But I felt like this wasn't just a win for Braun Strowman. I feel like this was a win for a lot of people because I feel a lot of people would like to throw Shane McMahon around inside of a steel cage.
Probably.
And also, you get your Shane McMahon spot at WrestleMania.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that was going to be a given. It was either that or he's going to be thrown off the pirate ship, which would have been awesome, too.
It's your typical, welcome back,
Braun.
Welcome back, the monster of Hmong Man, Braun, 3 stars.
Give it 3 stars as well. Mike?
3.
All right, let's move on to Bad Bunny and Damian Priest defeating John Morrison and The Miz in a tag team match. Hot freaking damn did Bad Bunny put his working shoes on. Round of applause for you, Bad Bunny. Man.
Best celebrity match in Mania history.
Oh, 100%. No one can top him. He was pulling out all the stops. And this is something that I've missed with that. They don't get with celebrities. If they just got celebrities who actually are wrestling fans and who actually care about this, you see what happens. Bad Bunny was getting the biggest pops of the night.
Can we also props Miz and Morrison for calling up Adam Rose to give them all of his buddies?
All his bunnies.
Those two entrances were great. Bad Bunny got a freaking damn good entrance.
Did.
But yeah, oh my God, what? Pulling out suplexes, dives, this, that. And the freaking Bad Bunny, it's a Canadian destroyer.
It's the Bunny Destroyer. Get it right.
The Bunny Destroyer. Who would have thought that Bad Bunny could hit a Bunny Destroyer? Wow.
And then in stereo Falcon Arrows.
Falcon Air. Oh my God. And Priest looked damn good too. You know, they made sure to make Priest look good as well. I loved it. I thought this was great. I can't believe I'm doing this. I'm giving it 4. That was great.
I would go 4 if, you know, you gave a little more offense to Miz and Morrison. So 3.5. But interesting revelation I had today is Miz and Morrison, the new Eminem. Get it?
Miz and Morrison. That's a great point.
Mm-hmm.
I thought about that today. I'm like, is this the new Eminem? Maybe.
Probably.
We need Melina, maybe?
Yeah, maybe. Mike, what did you think of the match?
I'm calling it a Canadian destroyer. I don't care what anyone says. I don't even know if Bad Bunny's Canadian.
No, I was making the joke that Booker T goes, no. It's a Bunny Destroyer.
Props to Miz and Morrison. I'll go 4 with you. I enjoyed it.
Best celebrity match ever, no doubt.
I can't wait for Miz versus Bad Bunny, whatever the next pay-per-view is.
Oh, WrestleMania Backlash. Did they have to put WrestleMania there too? Like, don't know why, but
we'll get into that in a moment.
Yeah. All right, and then we end night one with the main event. Bianca Belair defeating Sasha Banks to become the new SmackDown Women's Champion.
Wait a second. The best part about this is on the 3 count, Michael Cole yelling, Banks kicked out.
Oh, yes. Let's talk about that for a second. So the match is great and all this stuff. We'll get to specifics soon. But yes, at the end, Belair wins. And then as the 3 counts made, Michael Cole screams, Banks kicked out! Banks kicked out! Banks kicked out! As freaking Belair celebrating, it's like...
Corey Graves goes, no, 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 she didn't.
Oh, my God.
Oh, she didn't, Cole.
Michael Cole had a bunch of screw-ups this year at Mania. She had a bunch of weird audio calls.
My God.
But
the fact that night two was like inside itself, each other.
What can you repeat that?
The commentary team was just dissing each other the whole night on night two.
They were. It was great. Actually, really, really was fun. But Mike, what do you think of the match itself?
I thought the match was great. Great spots when Bianca Belair has Sasha overhead and she's just walking up the steps and just throws her back in. That was great. The 450 where Sasha gets her knees up. Oh, just great stuff.
Lawrence?
I agree with that. You know, the 450 knees up and then she actually hits the 450.
Mm-hmm.
But just the ending, grabbing of the hair. Bianca gets control back of her hair and then just whips the holy hell.
Oh, did you see the welt on Sasha after that? Oh, the sound.
I don't know if that was like the actual sound or they put in a sound effect somehow.
I think that was the actual sound. Leaving that kind of mark, that was the sound.
Yeah, if just that, like rewatching it this afternoon with my mom, I'm like, all right, get ready to watch this part. Cause I knew it was where Bianca whipped the holy hell out of Sasha. And you just see my mom and then face just, I'm like, yeah, that's what happened last night.
Yeah.
The welt mark.
Oh yeah. Oh, fantastic. And Banks, of course, proving why she's one of the best, just really smart and using Belair's hair against her, constantly, you know, grabbing it, wrapping it around her arms for a bank statement, wrapping it around her neck to like maybe an assisted bank statement. It was great stuff from Banks. And then
she hasn't won at Mania.
She has not.
Which is something I found out today.
0-6.
0-6.
The streak continues.
Streak continues. But Banks proving why she's one of the best ever, and Belair proving that she is the EST of SmackDown. Great that she's won the title. Hopefully she gets a long reign and they build the women's division around her because she clearly deserves it. Going 4.5. I absolutely love this match.
Lawrence? 4 stars. Yeah, 4 stars.
Mike?
4. I got to take points off for the Michael Cole botch at the end.
Yeah, I feel you there.
I've got to do that.
All right, so...
Also, but the real MVP of the whole show, night one and night two, Bayley.
Oh, my God, yeah.
Is the MVP of the whole show?
No. The MVP is the pyro guy because they blew their budget on this show. Every champion got a fireworks entrance.
Listen, they didn't have the same budget as an exploding barbed wire
death match. They blew the budget.
Listen, they had the budget from last year's pyro.
They did. They went hog wild with it. And, oh, guys, yo, we're riding high with, you know, WrestleMania Night 1. It's so great. And then we come to a screeching halt. Night 2 starts. Night 2 of WrestleMania, everyone's pumped up, and we start with Randy Orton versus The Fiend. Problems. Fiend's dead again. This was the dumbest thing I've ever seen in my life. So for what happens is, okay, first of all, though, The Fiend's entrance was badass. The transforming in back into the original Fiend, and then Alexa Bliss turning this huge jack-in-a-box crank, and the Fiend rises up out of it. He looked badass. Too bad once the match started, he looked like a shit. Because he's going through the match, he's about to put Orton away with a Sister Abigail, and then Alexa Bliss appears on top of the jack-in-the-box thing. She's bleeding profusely, this black liquid that they've been doing all this time, and Fiend gets distracted. Randy Orton hits one RKO and beats the Fiend. The Fiend and Alexa Bliss disappear, and that's it. I'm done.
I explained this to you when we were texting. There's many theories that go into this at this moment. One that wasn't Bray Wyatt as the Fiend. That was someone else. Because people say, how can Bray lose that much weight and look that skinny in the time he was written off?
He looked bigger than I thought.
Some people think that was a lot smaller version of the Fiend. Two, this is finally the arrival of Alexa Bliss, because we revert back to creepy cult Bray that always talked about Sister Abigail, and even he didn't know when she was going to appear.
I
will never give up on The Fiend until it's either then I get a notification stating that whatever Bray Wyatt's actual name is, he's been released, because you're always going to – The Fiend is the most interesting character they have going right now.
Not anymore.
Well, listen, you got to stop being a negative Nancy.
Sorry, I've had enough of them wasting The Fiend's potential.
Stop being like Moser and being a negative Nancy.
I'm sorry. Listen, and I get your point. I get this is maybe a storyline development, but you've had The Fiend versus Orton for 5.5 months. Why didn't you do this earlier and have the payoff here? Instead, you use WrestleMania as just a road, as just a step towards the final goal. Why not do this story over the last 4 months where you've been dicking around with Bliss versus Orton for months? Just have The Fiend return earlier, have this thing, and then do the payoff at WrestleMania. That was my issue with it.
Because you know you're still going to tune in next time to see, okay, you know what? Oh, we're at WrestleMania Backlash. There's this mystery thing with The Fiend that's going to – Fiend versus Orton again. You're like, God damn it, they drew me back in. How are they going to do it this time?
What I'm saying is, Lawrence, is that you should have had the payoff with all the fans, because that would have drawn in more fans.
Well, once again, Vince, I don't know if it's a creative standpoint, if Bray has control of The Fiend and the way it's written, maybe it's going to lead to a bigger payoff, because once again, are we finally getting Sister Abigail? Because once again, we revert back to creepy cult Bray. Speaking of the day of Sister Abigail appearing again.
And you
look at The Fiend's face. You saw The Fiend, and The Fiend stopped. The Fiend would have finished the match, killed off Randy Orton for 4 months, and The Fiend goes on. But you saw the Fiend stop in his tracks. You see him look, and you see this blackened back, blood black drip, whatever you, what the hell you want to call it, dripping from Alexa Bliss. And maybe this is finally the reveal of Sister Abigail.
But then what has she been the last 4 months?
Oh, random Alexa Bliss.
Random Alexa Bliss.
I guess. I just
think about it. We go from Fire Funhouse Bray to the Fiend to a crispy burnt Fiend back to now. What is the Fiend?
Like, we now need the three faces of Bray Wyatt in the Royal Rumble at some point.
Well, it could be the four faces because it'd be regular. It'd be Fire Funhouse Bray. Then there's the Fiend. There's Cult Bray. Then we can have Crispy Burnt. Crispy Burnt.
Don't need Crispy Burnt Fiend. That's another thing that I just, why didn't you pay it off here? WrestleMania should not be for stepping stones of stories. They should be for payoffs. That's what they should be. That's just my big issue with it. You've been doing this for 4 months, you've been dragging this thing out. You could have done all the story development in there and then had the payoff here. The big blow off Demon Orton versus Fiend or whatever. Mike, how about you? How about you? You haven't got your words in yet.
Well, you were talking so highly of how great this was with, you know, the Fiend and the red light. You know,
oh, that's another thing. They brought back the red light, and God, no, don't go back to that.
Stay away from the light.
Stay away from the red light.
I don't want to have an input on this until I see if there's a payoff on Raw. I really don't. Otherwise, this is a missed opportunity, but I'm expecting something big on Raw.
See, he's in agreement with me with something at least.
Well, okay, I'm not saying that there will be something, and I bet it will be good. But what I'm saying is that this shouldn't be if you're going to do a payoff.
This thing between him and Orton has lasted way too long.
Yes,
yeah, it has.
I'm not gonna. I don't think anyone's going to dispute that. But right now, you have to also consider this: what the hell else are you going to do with either one of them? Because I don't need Orton versus Lashley. Orton McIntyre happened 8,340 times last year alone. Mm-hmm. The Fiend's not going to get the belt yet, and there's no one really for him to go fight. And for God's sakes, I don't want to see Orton and Sheamus for the U.S. title.
Yeah. Well, and that's another thing.
Unless it's going to be like Orton versus Ali for some stupid reason.
Yeah. Well, and the other thing that I just don't like is with the Fiend, they haven't. What is he? What is the Fiend? Is he a monster that's taken over Bray, or is he part of Bray's psyche? And they keep going back and forth with that. And that's why I think I've lost kind of my thing with the Fiend, because they haven't identified what he is. Because like Orton makes himself look, he looks vulnerable, but then other times he looks like he's impenetrable. What is he? Is he a monster that can't be beat? Or is he just part of Bray's psyche? So he's basically human, just Bray gone crazy. We'll talk about that later because I have a thing to fix that, but we'll get into that later. But for the match itself, it wasn't much of a match, so I give it 1.5. It wasn't much of anything. Lawrence?
2.5. You gotta give a little bit of credit to how this is written, per se. Yes, okay, yes, Bray really didn't get any, he got some offense in, but yes, he got beat by Juan Cayo, so that diminishes it a lot. So 2.5 for me.
Mike?
6.5, just based on the fact of how much it pissed you off.
6.5 stars, all right. We go off a 5-star rating, we're going to go 6.5.
Mike, I'm going to be coming to you tomorrow, and you're not going to live to see the day. All right.
Listen, I'll survive more than Moser will.
Listen, you're going to be hurt, or you're going to heal from this experience.
All right, well, let's continue the downhill spiral with Nia Jax and Shayna Baszler defending the Women's Tag Team Championships against Natalya and Tamina. This was boring.
The hell is what? Why'd you have tag team turmoil if you're just going to have them hold on to the damn belts?
to build up a challenger because there are none.
You should have just had the belts change hands, even if a fluky build a feud, do something.
This match was really boring. It was a drop
kick. And by the way, they're the wrong teams. It should have been Nia and Tamina.
Exactly. Yeah. There's not much to say about this match. It was boring. Don't bother watching it. I give it 2. It was boring.
The fact that Tamina just the audience got behind Tamina, it's 3 stars.
Tamina on WrestleMania.
The fact that Tamina was on a WrestleMania card
and she was cheered is blowing my mind.
I mean, I feel like I don't have any issues with any one of the four, but man, this was not something to write home about. I'll go 2.
And especially I had to follow the opening match too.
Yeah, so it just dragged the crowd down even more.
Yeah, where the crowd was not happy.
All right, well, finally we get something that brings everyone back up, kind of resets the track. We get Kevin Owens defeating Sami Zayn. I mean, I texted
Mark with Logan Paul.
I don't care about Logan Paul. All I care about is the end when he got killed. We're not going to talk about him. But I was texting Adam during this, and I said, if you need a good match, you just put on Kevin Owens and Sami Zayn because this match was phenomenal. Mike,
the Owens promo last night was great too. No one thought we'd ever be here. You know, during the rain delay, talking about how no one believed in them and how they've gone through so much. That just set the table for this match.
Mm-hmm. And okay, if you guys had to guess, how long was this match?
It was probably about
18 minutes.
No, probably like 14, 15 minutes.
This match was 9 minutes. Right. It was 9 minutes. That was it.
Wow.
But they had so much stuff in it. It felt like a 20 minute match. That was the beauty of it. And it brought the crowd back into it. Thank God they come to the rescue with this one. Logan Paul comes in, gets stunned at the end. I cheered loudly for that. That was the biggest pop of the night, and I'm glad it was. But yeah, it's Kevin Owens versus Sami Zayn. It's going to be a 4-star match. It was great. Mike?
Let's also not forget that Sami Zayn had those awesome dance moves when Logan Paul was coming out.
He did. He brought out the dance moves again.
But again, they brought out the classics and everything you knew. Like the... This was tonight too what Cesaro Rollins was tonight one.
Yep.
Just great stuff.
What do you give it for stars?
4.
Lawrence?
3.5.
You're just, you talk about me being a negative Nancy. You're like half less than all of us.
Well, you know, because of Logan Paul.
Fair enough. Fair enough. All right, so crowd's back into it. Let's go on to the United States Championship match as Sheamus defeats Riddle to become the new champion. Really good, this. This was not fantastic, but really, really good. Nice physical match. And the counters and stuff. Sheamus hits a knee out of a somersault plancha by Riddle. Just the sound on it. Just and takes out Riddle. And there was a small botch in there where Sheamus was going to do this big white noise off the top rope, and he fortunately slipped off. But they made up for it for me at the end with that brogue kick out of a moonsault by Riddle, and Sheamus hits him with a brogue kick. That looked nasty.
Busted him open,
everything. Patchy, what are your thoughts?
You know, great physical match. We always need a great physical match somewhere in a show. Obviously, you got Riddle, the former MMA fighter, versus Sheamus, who's a ham inside of himself, and that can just be a physical wrestler, too. But to go back before the match, how about Riddle, Kali,
and RVD?
And RVD shamelessly plugs his rolling papers.
That came out of nowhere. I was like, what?
Collectively lost my mind. I'm like, you know what? We need Riddle and RVD as a tag team. Just even if it's just for like 2 months where IBD comes back for a final run and they're the ones to take down AJ and Omos, I would be fine with it. But give me more RVD and Riddle. But overall, I'm happy for Sheamus. Now a three-time United States champion, 3.5-star match.
I give it 3.5 as well, Mike.
I'm with you on the Riddle RVD. They need to become a tag team now. But someone later on has to explain to me why the Great Khali's in the Hall of Fame, but that's all another issue. Listen, it was fine. If you're not going to do anything with Riddle anyway, which kind of seemed like they weren't doing much, he'd fought Ali a couple of times, just put the belt back on Sheamus. I don't know where he goes from here, but good match, good physical match. I'm with you guys. I'll go 3.5.
I had a question for our friend Adam with this, and I wanted to bring it up to you guys on the show. Do you think they gave the title to Sheamus because this might be Sheamus's like final run in the company? Because there have been rumors. There have been rumors for a long time that Sheamus is like nearing the end of his career due to injuries.
That's very possible. I mean, if I was hoping for one more run out of Sheamus, Patchy, close your ears, I'd want it to be the bar. That was the one time I think I enjoyed Sheamus the most, was him and Cesaro actually teaming up.
Mm-hmm. Patchy, what do you think?
What about this is Sheamus's final run?
Yeah.
If it is, he had a fantastic run inside the WWE. Man, pretty much accomplished it all besides winning the U.S. title, not the U.S. title, the Universal title. Mm-hmm. He won a Rumble. He won Money in the Bank.
WWE he won the world, title.
WWE title, World Heavyweight title, IC champ. Fantastic run with Cesaro and the bar, and even their best of seven match, where they even played off at the house shows.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Listen, let's also not forget he put Mark Cuban through a table.
And you put Mark Cuban through a table that set off my one friend who is a Mavericks fan.
I'm a big Mark Cuban fan, so.
I'm a big Mark Cuban fan too, but in the fact that they convinced Mark Cuban to do a table spot inside of itself is amazing.
Yeah. All right. Up next, we had the Nigerian drum fight for the WWE Intercontinental Championship as Apollo Crews defeated Big E with the help of the debuting whoever it is, but it was Babe Tunde from Raw Underground dressed up in a
different costume. This is the guy Omos should fight.
This is the guy Omos should fight. Mike, what'd you think?
Well, for a Nigerian drum fight and no drums to be involved.
Well, there were drums there.
That's not right. Drums should be involved in this match if you're going to call it a drum match. Kind of what I expected, Apollo Crews going over. It only took them this long to realize, oh, Apollo Crews could actually do some things, but we're going to change his entire gimmick into this weird whatever you want to consider Apollo Crews now. Hopefully this moves Big E into a different picture. Mm-hmm. But all in all, it was what it was. It was fine. But, yeah. Good for Apollo Crews.
Patchy.
Good for Apollo Crews. Now we get the newbie that's now been called up and put with Crews. So interesting, we'll see where they go with this now. Now it's like, all right, hey, we gave AJ Styles this big guy. Let's give someone on SmackDown the big guy to protect him or be a bodyguard, whatever the hell you want to call it. But good for Crews. It pays off for him. 3 stars.
Yeah, I'll give it 3 as well. There was some good moments in it. The spear, the table spot, the crunching Uranagi onto the steps was brutal. I give it 3 as well. Mike?
I'll go 3. Okay, so. I mean, think about it. Apollo Crews wasted months doing Titus Worldwide, and now he's the Intercontinental Champion.
Crazy, 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 crazy. All right, up next we had the Raw Women's Championship as Rhea Ripley defeated Asuka to become the new champion. This is not to say anything bad about the match, but this is the only match where it kind of under-delivered for me. I don't know about you guys. It just never felt like they hit that second gear. Mike, what do you think?
I liked it. I felt for something that was kind of planned. I don't want to say last minute, but you knew this kind of wasn't the first option. But this was, I thought it was the DDT to the floor.
That was brutal. That was great.
Oh, I mean, my ears hurt during Rhea Ripley's entrance, but that was, you know.
Yeah, that performance was a little lackluster.
Yeah, yeah, so. I was hoping we get to the main event, but I was hoping that Edge's would have been a live entrance.
Oh, Alter Bridge.
Alter Bridge, no offense to Rhea, but I was not impressed with that live entrance at all.
Yeah, that was something else.
This was good. I don't want to say this was, you know, the better of the two women's title matches, but I like the fact that in the two women's title matches, it was kind of fresh blood in there.
It was. And there were definitely some good moments in this. Ripley with DDT, or Oscar with the DDT off the apron to the floor. Ripley with the avalanche. She had like a massive suplex at one point. There was some good stuff in this. I give it 3.5. It was decent.
Yeah.
Could have been a lot better though. Patchy.
You know, it was, to me, it was a solid women's championship match. It's a 3.5 star match. It had its moments, and we have now the rise of Rhea Ripley.
We do. Mike?
I'll go 3.5. Can't wait for Charlotte to appear on Raw to challenge Rhea Ripley for the Raw Women's title tomorrow.
Yep, and win it again. All right, and we get to the last match of the weekend. We get to the main event of night 2 as Roman Reigns defends the Universal Championship by defeating Edge and Daniel Bryan. Oh, fantastic. I loved this match. I'll give this one right now. I give 4.5. I thought this was fantastic. Pulling out all the stops in this match, the concertos, the powerbomb to the table, the spears, the double spears, the knee, the yes, like the double submission. Oh, I loved this match. Fantastic match. And we'll get to it in a second, but I think Roman Reigns was actually the best decision. But Mike, what do you think?
Okay. My favorite part, I actually have two favorite parts, and you mentioned both of them, where Roman's powerbombs Brian through the announce table. And he's taunting and he just turns, and then there's Edge from just, there's the spear. Come on, Roman, you hit that move. You should have saw it coming.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's the other one where they try to spear each other and it's a head-on collision. That was also one of my favorite moments of this match. But it was a great match. It was physical. Everyone got their spots in. And it was beautiful. Just beautiful stuff for the most part.
Patchy?
Yeah, you know, it, like Rifkin said, everyone got their moments to do their spots. The double submission where you had the cross face and the yes lock on Roman. Amazing. The meaning of the heads or shoulders, whatever you want to classify it as, and the double spear. It was a fun match. One of my only flaws is, for the love of God, why do we need Jey Uso there?
Thank you.
Yeah, Jey Uso is becoming a little bit of a...
Don't get me wrong. It's like the creative's just like, you know what? Let's just keep bugging the shit out of the fans. Hey, Jey, just go in and do something stupid. Jey's like, all right, I can do that. And it's like, okay, we get it. He's the right-hand man. Bring back freaking Jimmy right now so we can just have them go off and do their thing again. Mm-hmm.
You put the tag titles on them and have them fight the Street Profits.
There you go.
There you go.
Perfect. And then the tribal tribe can have all the gold.
The tribal tribe.
Apollo Crews joining them?
Yes, Apollo Crews can join them too. For the love of God, let's just throw him in there too. Mega stable. But it's like, I'm all right with Jey being there, but him getting involved diminishes the match a little bit.
He should have been out after the first thing.
Yes. And then, okay. And okay. If you want to put Roman over, okay. You have him. Okay. Edge hits the concerto on Brian, and then you just have Roman spear him. And then you have him hit concerto, drag Edge on Brian, and then double pin him. That's how you end the match.
Instead so I wanted to ask you guys this. Do you guys have a problem with Roman winning?
I don't have a problem with Roman winning. The IWC is probably imploding because they all wanted the feel-good story.
I'm actually surprised. I see a lot of people agreeing that Roman is the best person to win. And I do agree with it because, look, Edge isn't going to be around for much longer because he's only signed a 3-year contract. He's only going to be around for a couple years max. Daniel Bryan's only going to be around for a couple more years max. He's, like, ready to retire. You got to build the new guy up, and Roman can be the top heel on SmackDown where you have, like, maybe a God, who's on SmackDown right now?
Cesaro.
Like a Cesaro or
Big E.
Like they take down the champion and really crown them as new guys. So I have no problem with Roman winning here. It gives them the big heel win. I think it's fine. Mike, your thoughts?
I don't have an issue with Roman retaining. My biggest beef, I have two of them, actually. My first beef is, then why the hell did you have Edge win the Rumble?
I think to give him, that was his right. feel-good moment.
Well, I'll go off that. I've been seeing a lot of this on Facebook. People saying, oh, if you had Edge win the Rumble, why did you have him lose? Not everyone that wins the Rumble
wins.
I totally understand that. But for him, for someone like Edge, who we don't know how much he's got left. If you're going to give him that moment, no, I think I've told you, you go all the way. You have to push it.
You have to push it all the way, but it leaves that moment. All right, Edge just came up short in his comeback. We don't have much time has left. Can he find another way to get himself that one last opportunity at the title?
Right.
Brian, and then what's your second beef?
All right, well, okay. I'm going to continue on the first one, then I'll get to the second one. If you had him win and you have Roman snap and beat the crap out of him after the match, you could have had the Miz cash in. He didn't have to do the cash in on Drew. He could have waited till Mania, done the ultimate opportunist thing to the ultimate opportunist. You could have went that route if you didn't want Roman to look bad. The second part is you could just have Roman pin Brian instead of pinning both of them, because then Edge could have said, well, I won the Rumble. I deserve my one-on-one shot.
I do agree with that because I get the image of him pinning both of them, and that was, like, cool. But I do agree with you. If he had pinned Brian, it would have given Edge, like, fuel to keep going.
Like, where do you go now if you're Edge? Do you stay on Roman? Do you transition it to maybe Edge and Brian into something? I don't know. Mm-hmm. Like, if he signed a 3-year deal, I don't know what comes of that.
Right.
So, this is how smart the IWC is sometimes. Oh, Roman put Edge on Brian and then pinned one on top of Edge. Technically, Edge should be champion right now.
Oh, yeah, I did see that where technically Edge is on top of Brian, so Brian should be the champion. Edge should be the champion. They could do that.
That'd be really funny if they find a way to do that, but I'm interested in what they see what to do with Edge now. Maybe he still stays in the Universal title picture.
Who knows?
He didn't get a rightful one-on-one match because, God forbid, we just go with Roman versus Edge. No offense to Daniel Bryan.
Right.
But why did Daniel Bryan have to be in this match?
I think because he is... I think he's retiring soon, so I think they wanted him to give him one more main event.
Okay, the man had, once again, no offense to Daniel Bryan, I love Daniel Bryan. He had his WrestleMania moment, WrestleMania 30, where he won the title. Okay, yes, he had to retire because of his neck, and he was able to come back. But Edge rightfully couldn't walk off into the sunset his way.
10 years to the day.
10 years to the day.
He had to announce his retirement.
What about
that? That would have made it full circle in my mind.
Do you think that maybe either WWE or Edge wasn't feeling confident about him being able to carry a match with Roman as the main event? So maybe they threw Bryan in there to give it a little jolt just in case Edge had some problems?
Well, you have to. We're not part of those conversations, so we don't know. I'd like to think that if Edge were not confident in that or comfortable with that, he would have said something before the Rumble. And then they could have dictated it in another way.
Fair enough.
But overall, I give this a 4-star match.
Yeah, I go 4.5. I love this match. That was
big. So the other thing is just, and we're spitballing here, Edge is the feel-good story here, but if it's not him, then A, how long is Roman holding the belt? And B, who's going to be the individual to take it from him?
Yeah, that's interesting. I would say Big E. I would like it for it to be Big E or Cesaro. I think those are the two guys, the front runners right now.
I mean, I'll believe the Cesaro thing when I see it.
Again, I said the same thing about this match even, so yeah. We'll see. Patchy, have your thoughts on that?
I hope it's Cesaro. It's time to, like I said, once again, I said this earlier on the show, strap the rocket to Cesaro, send him to the moon.
Man, you guys are going to be really upset when it's Brock Lesnar.
I know.
You know, if it's Brock Lesnar, you know what? If it's Brock Lesnar versus Roman, I'm all right with it because, once again, it's a draw.
Yeah, we'll see. We'll see what happens. Excuse me. We'll see what happens, but that is going to wrap it up. Our WrestleMania 37 and NXT TakeOver Stand Deliver reactions video. Thank you guys so much for listening. We hope you enjoyed the weekend and we hope you enjoy the wrestling to come. My name has been Noah Trombley for Mike Rifkin and Lawrence Patrick and Lang. This has been the Face Third, and we'll see you guys next time.